Welcome to Backbone Radio. I'm your host, Ross Kaminsky. Great to be back in the studio speaking to you this evening. It is not a gorgeous evening here in the Rocky Mountains, but I'm hoping that the bad weather means there's more of you listening to me this evening and, you know, hanging out inside with your family and friends, hanging out. I am glad to have you listening. I hope you'll call and join the conversation as well. Our number here in the studio is 303-696-1971, and if you want, you can shoot me an email, ross@backboneradio.net. You can also send me an instant message if you go over to my website at rossputin.com. There's a little box over on the right side where you can type an instant message to me, and it'll pop up on my laptop screen right here in front of me, and I'll respond to you that way. What a fascinating week. First, you know, I want to mention the Casey Anthony trial is now sort of old news, but this is the first time I've been in the studio here with you since that verdict. And, oh, my God, you know, I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old child. And you know what? Casey Anthony murdered her daughter and got away with it. You know what? It's that simple. I wrote a note about this for my website. I said before hearing any of the evidence, I thought that Casey Anthony was a hot body party slut who thought that her daughter was inconvenient for her partying ways and wanted to do something about her. And after hearing all the evidence, I thought that Casey Anthony was a hot body party slut who thought that her young daughter was inconveniencing her partying ways and wanted to do something about it. Nothing in the evidence changed my opinion. In other words, she did it. That jury were ridiculous. On the other hand, I do think she was probably overcharged by the prosecutors, and I think perhaps the fact that the death penalty was on the table, especially in the state of Florida, where there's some current controversy over the way the death penalty is implemented in that state, I think it might have hurt the prosecution's case. But, you know, to me, this is worse than OJ. And I mean, there's a body, there's a motive, and boy, that jury really screwed it up. And I think between that and Dominic Strauss-Kahn, we're probably the laughing stock of the world right now when it comes to our legal system. Anyway, just wanted to get that off my chest. You know, if you want to comment about Casey Anthony, feel free to give me a call, 303-696-1971. We've got a great show coming up for you. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to talk to Scott Wheeler from National Investigative Media. Scott's a former TV producer, an investigative journalist, and he's also a veteran of the U.S. Army. And he uncovered a really interesting story a few months ago dealing with the relationship between the Associated Press and a polling company. And we'll let Scott explain it all, but the short version is that it looks like this polling company is getting contracts from our federal government just as they are putting out polls with extremely questionable polling methods, not just as, after putting out extremely questionable polls, which are, it seems like they're designed to make Barack Obama's reelection chances look stronger than anybody else thinks they are. It's a fascinating story. AP is in a partnership with this polling company and seems to be promoting this basically bogus poll. So we're going to talk to Scott Wheeler about that coming up at 5:30. Coming up at 6 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Randall O'Toole from the Cato Institute. That's Randall with one L, if you want to Google him. And we are going to talk about tax increment financing. And it sounds a little bit arcane and dry, but I'm going to tell you this is extremely important right here and right now. And I'll let Randall O'Toole tell you in more detail what tax increment financing or TIFs are, but basically it's a way for the government to promise some developer that the government will give the developer any increase in tax revenue that comes in or around a development. And it's basically a way to subsidize, to pay developers to bring developments to an area. And the reason that this is important is that as I speak to you right now, I am sitting in the city of Aurora. And the city of Aurora has proposed a TIF program that would give approximately $300 million, yes, $300 $1,000 to a company called Gaylord Entertainment, which is based in Nashville, Tennessee, to build basically a large convention and hotel complex in Aurora. And this is an enormous deal. I mean, $300 million is, as one commentator mentioned, enough to get its own line item in a Defense Department budget. For the city of Aurora to be talking about a $300 million subsidy to a private corporation to bring a convention center here is a very big deal. And it happens at the same time that there's all this talk about where the stock show might move, because they're saying that they need room to grow and their current site in Denver isn't big enough. So it looks like Denver and Aurora might be fighting over where the stock show goes. Anyway, it's going to be very interesting. We're going to learn about TIF financing from Randall O'Toole. And then I hope to get a call or two from contenders for the mayor of Aurora office. I expect that Ryan Frazier, who is a friend of mine and who I supported when he ran for Congress, I expect he will call in at 6:45 to talk about his position on this. And another friend of mine, Jude Sandvall, is also a candidate for mayor of Aurora. So I'm not endorsing anybody in this race. I've got two friends running, and I think there's at least one other candidate as well. And if Jude is able to call in, he will. He's traveling. He'll be driving in a car with a 1, 3, and 5-year-old, which is not exactly conducive to calling into radio shows, but we'll see what happens. So we got that coming up. In the third hour of the show, I'm going to talk some economics with you, economics and politics. You know, the Friday's jobs report was a total disaster. Very bad news for the Democrats, and perhaps is part of the reason that last night's debt ceiling talks kind of broke up, where John Boehner came out. It seemed like he might have been drifting towards accepting some Democrat tax hikes of some sort, and he basically walked away from all that after the jobs report came out. So we will talk about all that in the third hour of the show. Now, what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes here, and I would love to get your take on this, 303-696-1971. I'm reading a story from Channel 7 News. Their website is thedenverchannel.com, talking about new proposed rules from the Colorado Department of Human Services about daycare centers. I don't know how many of you have heard about this story, but this is the nanny state gone wild. I'm just going to tell you a few of these proposed rules from the Department of Human Services. Children over 2 years old can't be served whole milk. They can only be served 1%, 2%, or skim milk. Can't be served whole milk unless they've got a doctor's note. Can you believe that? And by the way, here's a little trivia question for you. What percent fat is whole milk? How many of you know the answer to that? I'll tell you the answer in a second. There's raise your hand if you know the answer out there, and I'll call on you in a second. Anyway, so that's one proposed rule, right? So no kid over 2 years old can get whole milk unless they have a doctor's note. Okay, have you had enough time to think about it? So obviously 1% milk is 1% fat, and 2% milk is 2% fat. What percent do you think? Don, can you hear me? Producer Don, put up your hands, fingers. What percent fat do you think whole milk is? I'm asking Producer Don. Producer Don says 5% fat, and I bet he thinks he's guessing low for purposes of this question. It's between 3.25% and 4%, right? So 2% milk, yes, it's half the fat of whole milk, but you're still only talking about 2% extra of the product being fat. So apparently that extra 2% is so dangerous to our children that they have to have a doctor's note. By the way, when my kids were born, when my kids were, you know, even up through 3, 4 years old, our pediatrician told them, you basically want kids to be on a diet that's full of lots of nutrition but has plenty of fat. Kids need fat to grow their bodies. So there's one. Here's another one. Juice shall be limited to 4 to 6 ounces per day for children over 1 year of age and must be 100% juice. TV and computer time shall be limited to 20 minutes a day unless it's a special occasion. And here is my favorite one of all, my absolute favorite proposed regulation. Every daycare center shall have dolls representing at least 3 races. Got that? Every daycare center shall have dolls representing at least three races. My comment is, that's two more races than are represented in the entire population of Boulder. They're going to just totally confuse the kids. You know, I live just outside of Boulder. And we, part of the reason we moved to it is it seemed like kind of a dynamic, open-minded place. It turns out it's the most closed-minded. It's only diverse in the sense of a diverse collection of liberal white people. Boring as heck. Anyway, dolls of three races. That's what's coming next. Can you believe it? The nanny state gone wild. We'll talk about this a lot more when we come back after these words right here on Backbone Radio. And Scott Wheeler coming up at 6:30. Stay with us. Welcome back to Backbone Radio. You know, I should mention you. I trade financial markets for a living. A lot of you guys know that. I trade stocks and options and the occasional futures and whatever. And so I'm watching, you know, silver and gold and oil and the U.S. dollar all the time. And, you know, the stock market's all over the place, which is actually sort of pretty good for my style of trading. But for your average investor, it's pretty frustrating. Unemployment is now at the highest level this year again, and it's a mess. And you might have heard an ad before the show coming about this 710 Canyon West Financial Expo, which is Tuesday, July 26th. And they're going to have Jordan Goodman, who is he brands himself as America's Money Answers Man. And I've actually met and interviewed Jordan Goodman on the radio. And he's really good. You know, a lot of these guys who kind of sell their services and their advice or whatever on the internet or on radio and TV are basically a bunch of self-promoters who have one little idea and milk it and don't really know very much detail about anything. Goodman, I was really impressed. This guy had actually knowledgeable answers about a really wide range of financial subjects because I'm no financial dummy. And he gave great answers. I was really impressed with the guy. And I think that this KNUS Financial Expo on July 26th is going to be well worth going to. It's free, but the seating's limited. So get your ticket. Go to 710knus.com. You can register for it online. Like I said, it's free. And Jordan Goodman is solid. I mean, you ask him a question, you'll get a solid, no BS answer, even to complicated questions. Especially these days, a lot of people are really worried about retirement stuff, and he had really good answers. So I encourage you all, check that out. Go to 710knus.com and go hear Jordan Goodman, ask him a question or two at this KNUS Financial Expo. He's the real deal. Now, we were talking before the break about this Colorado Department of Human Services rules, proposed rules for daycare centers. And there, you know, this stuff, I mean, I told you my favorite one that each daycare center has to have dolls that represent three races. There's more. Staffers have to wear clothes that cover their lap and shoulders. That's a good one. What else? Children have to be offered food at intervals no more than 3 hours apart. The proposed changes also specify policies for hand washing, handling prescriptions, and sunscreen. And by the way, check this out. So my son got a pretty bad splinter when he was in preschool, you know, just a couple months ago. And the school called me and said, your son's got a very bad splinter in his finger. I'm like, okay, take it out. And they said, we can't. We are prevented by law, they said, from removing anything from the body. So they can't take out a splinter. If a kid jams something in his ear, they can't take it out. So, you know, I'm at home. I live 40 minutes away from my kid's preschool. I work at home. My wife is wherever. I don't know. So I either have to decide to, you know, interrupt my work day, go down and deal with my son in the middle of a school day, or ask them, well, exactly how much pain is he in? You know, can he handle it for the rest of the day? And actually, in that case, they said he's acting like it doesn't bother him at all and he's just off playing and whatever. So I ended up just leaving it and taking it out later. But how ridiculous is that? They can't take out a splinter. What is wrong with our government that I mean, in one sense, they want everyone else to be our kids' parents, except when it comes to stuff that's important, and then they can't do the things that a parent would actually be there to do. It's absolutely unbelievable. There's also something in these rules, and I don't have it right here in front of me, but about how every coloring set has to have 10 colors of paint and at least 10 pieces of paper and 10 something else. Absolutely crazy. And in the Channel 7 news story, they said that child care providers asked for specifics to be added where in current rules, it just states that something needs to be adequate. And Channel 7 spoke with someone who said she had asked for specifics, and that someone said, we did ask for specifics, but I think they went overboard. The proposed rules are just astronomically overbearing. There's too many of them, and they're too specific for a center to be able to remember and follow them all. Well, duh. I mean, why is it that they even had rules that described adequate? You know, this is ridiculous. They're talking about licensing stuff. They're talking about that daycare center staffers have to take at least one PE class every year. Then there are all these levels of education. Like if you don't have a certain number of years in college studying kids, then you have to have worked for a year or 2 years in that center in order to be able to get a job running a center. It's totally out of control. We need to get government as far away from this as possible. Parents pay attention to how their kids are treated. They ask their kids questions. They can tell how things are going based on whether the kid's happy or not happy, what the kid talks about when they're coming home from school. They don't need government micromanaging every little thing. This is totally out of control. And you know what? Once the government puts these things into place, you know what they're going to need then? More bureaucrats to make sure that every daycare center manages, you know, follows these rules. And imagine the bureaucrat who's going to go to each person running a daycare center and making sure that they either have the right number of, you know, of the right amount of education, or if they don't have it, that they've spent X number of thousands of hours, literally thousands of hours, doing whatever it is, you know, working with kids, if they're going to have a job running a center. It's ridiculous. And the other thing that I would mention is management of, you know, almost anything, almost any business, doesn't necessarily have to do have to tie extremely closely to the product or service that the business is selling. For example, you know, the guy who runs, you know, a General Electric, I am certain he is not an expert on everything that General Electric makes, right? He can't be an expert on airplane engines, power plants, and light bulbs, right? He can't be an expert on everything. What he is an expert at is management. Now, GE is sort of a bad example because I can't stand the CEO of GE, but you get my point. Management is management. Let me put it another way, keeping it in the education realm, right? Principals and teachers, or superintendents and teachers, it's a totally different job, and they're different people. A relatively small number of principals We're teachers. It's about management. So the idea that if you haven't spent, you know, 2,000 hours with kids, that, you know, unless you have a 4-year degree in early childhood education, then you have to have spent 1,000 or 2,000 or 4,000 hours with kids, or you can't run a child care center. It's totally out of control. Let every business decide who they want to run it. If they do a bad job running it, they'll go out of business. It's that simple. This is really crazy. Dolls of three races, these people should be ashamed of themselves. But at the end of the day, you know what? People get the government they deserve. And until Coloradans start electing out Democrats and electing in Republicans and Libertarians and people who believe that individuals are actually smart enough to take care of their own kids, we're going to keep getting garbage like this. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Scott Wheeler and talk about the corruption of the AP and polling. Stay with us.